a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. Super Tuesday. I'm Daria Albinger. The polls are closing now in North Carolina, one of the few true battleground states on this Super Tuesday. ABC News is projecting that President Biden will win the state's Democratic presidential primary and that former President Trump, the Republican presidential primary. They closed a half an hour ago in Virginia, where ABC News is projecting Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump will win their respective primaries. ABC's Mary Bruce says he and former President Trump are treating today as the lead up for round two for the general election.
Talking with the campaign, they think that voters haven't fully registered, that we are again likely headed for this Trump-Biden rematch. So they see this as a moment to again lay out really what is at stake here, to try and crystallize the critical differences between Trump and Biden. And of course, President Biden's going to have a big opportunity to do that later this week.
This is ABC News. Bitcoin hit an all-time high, jumping 4% this week. California man suing a Las Vegas resort over an alleged scorpion attack.
Michael Farchi was sleeping in his room at Venetian Palazzo on the Vegas Strip when suddenly
I woke up with a sharp pain in my private area. I went to the restroom and I just saw scorpion hanging on my underwear.
Now he's suing the five-star resort, represented by attorney Brian Virag.
Nobody staying in Vegas needs to be exposed to deadly scorpions while they're sleeping, let alone on their private areas.
Farchi claims he's still in pain. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg tops the 2023 list of America's biggest donors. He gave to the most charities to the tune of $3 billion for art, education, environment, public health, and a number of other philanthropic endeavors. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Mino and the Mayor. Hey, if I could find my grandma's recipe for grappa, maybe we could do that.
A moonshine?
Grappa.
Oh, grappa's not moonshine?
We don't like that term.
The Italians don't like the Kentucky or what?
And that's what it said on the arrest papers.
That's right. You're one of the few guys I know that the grandma did time.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 1,400 pages of newly released documents show how two lawyers from Wisconsin tried to overturn President Biden's 2020 victory in the state. James Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro turned over the records yesterday to settle a lawsuit. The papers show how they put together slates of fake electors in Wisconsin and six other battleground states. Today is Super Tuesday. Voters in 15 states and American Samoa should put President Biden and Donald Trump closer to their party's nominations. Biden surrogate Malcolm Kenyatta tells WISN-TV's Upfront he's not concerned the president is losing in battleground states.
Whether it's Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania, you know, these are states that have always been close.
Wisconsin is one of a handful of states expected to decide the winner in November. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Bucks sink the Clippers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with an impressive come-from-behind win last night in Milwaukee, 113-106 over the Clippers. Doc Rivers on his plan to prevent Damian Lillard from being trapped while trying to shoot.
Yeah, it was awesome. We worked on it this morning and yesterday, so 2 days in a row working on Dame getting trapped, Giannis getting trapped, running jumps, and it paid dividends today. That's what the guys were saying, man. We worked on it the entire practice, and that's what we got. And you can see how calm guys guys were.
The Bucks head west on a four-game road trip. College basketball, Marquette drops to number 8 in the AP Top 25 poll. The Badgers did not receive a single vote after being ranked 6th just a month ago. NFL, after two seasons, the Denver Broncos have released quarterback Russell Wilson.
We were on this journey, and so we beat Green Bay, Kansas City, we beat them, and I got that call that, hey, we're going to bench you for the next 9 games.
That's quarterback Russell Wilson with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 20s, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, a nice day with highs into the upper 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds Thursday, approaching 50 degrees, then a chance of rain Thursday night into Friday. It's 39 right now.
Super Tuesday results on the Super Wednesday edition of the Devils Advocate. Scott Ross joins. Hope you do as well. Tune in 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Network.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Never. I've never collected. Welcome to Nightlight, everybody. Great to have you with me on this really cool Tuesday. In early March, summer's right around the corner. We got 3 or 4 UW Division III teams in the Sweet 16 for basketball. 3 women's teams and 1 men's team. That's exciting. Spring is here. The NCAA tournament is right around the corner. The Oscars are coming up this Sunday night. Lots of stuff going on, and all the more reason to gather around the radio tonight, folks. Bring the whole family in. Make some hot chocolate, and let's talk about show business and things that entertain us. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We are broadcasting statewide throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. I guess that's redundant. That's what statewide means. But we are broadcasting from WGBW here in beautiful downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing. Great to have you with me. As always, my trusted compadre Conrad is here.
Yes, I am here.
He's a man of few words, people.
Yes, I am here.
I can see that you're here, but I'm glad you told the people that you're here, because I don't know if they would have believed me. So it's good to have you too, buddy. You ready for some text action tonight?
Of course. I'm always ready.
Yeah, you are. Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, those are our big text nights.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to send a text,
yeah,
make sure Pete reads that.
We'll do that. We'll do that on the air. I will not read your sexts.
That is very true.
You can send that directly to Conrad. I don't want any part of that tomfoolery or that immorality. That's not what this show is about. I made a joke about being a revenge porn king last night. Maybe people took that the wrong way. I don't know. I think they can just text me, whatever. So anyway, Conrad is here ready to take your text and make you part of the show. That's what we want.
Yeah, that is what we want.
Yeah, we want to hear from you throughout the show, no matter what we're talking about. Got a pretty jam-packed show tonight. Very exciting. Rob Thomas from the Capital Times will be here momentarily to discuss... Well, the things we always talk about with Rob. He is a Nightlight bestie. We are going to talk about the Oscars. I'm going to see what Rob watched. I read his review of The Zone of Interest. I want to talk to him about that. And I know he's seen Dune 2. So we'll talk to Rob about that as well. And he actually was spot on. I watched The Zone of Interest last night. Kind of a haunting film to watch right before you go to bed. But I did muscle through it. And my interpretation of the film was very close to Rob's. So that'll be fun to talk to Rob about that film. Jimmy Cuska is here, Civic Media's own Jimmy Cuska. He is very involved. He used to call games for, was it Platteville? I have it right here. Stand by, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy used to call games for Whitewater and Stout. So he is really excited. I've seen him post stuff about the Sweet 16 and what's going on, and he's pretty excited about that. So we're going to get some inside insights from Jimmy. That's coming up at 8:05. And then Mike Clemens will be here at 8:35. So we're working in a little sports tonight. Mike was fresh off the NFL Combine, dying to know how many reps he did, what his vertical was, and what Mike ran the 40 in. So Mike will give us a full report at 8:35. Mike's always a great guest. And I want to see if he watched the documentary I recommended to him, Long Shot. Such a great doc on Netflix. It's only 40 minutes long, about a guy wrongfully accused of murder. And his alibi was being at a Dodger game, but they had to prove he was there, and the way they do it is so great. Such a neat little documentary. And I know Mike likes his documentaries. So our question tonight, it is National Cheese Doodle Day. That's like, I guess a cheese doodle technically is a Cheeto, but it's like the puff kind, not the crunchy kind. They'll both kill you. But people tend to, the doodle is the soft one. That's where I'm going with this. They have a national day. It's also National Multiple Personality Day. Our question tonight, what chip do you think deserves a national holiday? It's National Cheese Doodle Day. Would you rather see Cool Ranch Doritos, Lay's potato chips, Bugles? Don't forget about Bugles, folks. Do not forget about Bugles. They will sneak up on you and pass you right at the finish line. You got Bugles. You got Funyuns. Conrad, do you like Funyuns?
I do. I love Funyuns.
Isn't that?
Like, I try not to eat them, but they're really good.
They're hard not to. Yeah, especially because I never eat them. So sometimes I'll see them and I'll go, "Oh yes, Funyuns."
The name doesn't describe it. I feel like it's so much better than the name.
Yeah, it's kind of lame. They try to sneak the word fun in there, and it whatever, it works.
They just released a new flavor of it, and it's spicy queso.
So is it still a Funyun?
It's Funyun spicy queso. So it's like onion with spicy queso.
Okay.
And it's really good.
I'll give it a whirl. You polish off a bag already?
My brother and I were like, ooh, these look interesting.
Was it 2 a.m. after bar time when you... Actually, plowed through a bag of whatever they're called again.
They would have tasted a lot better.
I don't. Yeah, it's funny because my wife will always say, "Let's just do something casual for dinner. Let's just have sandwiches, but pick up like a fun chip." I'm always like, "Fun chip? What's a fun chip?" Like I picture like a chip doing like these disco moves with an open collar. A fun chip. Cheese noodles sound fun. But what chip do you think deserves a national holiday? Or national day, I guess it's not technically a holiday. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I need to know, people. I want to know. I don't know what is going on in February, but I always look at like what's been released in terms of movies and TV. It's so just kind of blah. Like this week, Analyze This was released. That's the Robert De Niro, Billy Crystal film, which was just, I think it's a Harold Ramis film too. And he has no bigger fan than me, but that movie just did not do it. It's like Billy Crystal at the height of his popularity, De Niro at the height of his tough guy popularity. We got to get these two together. And they wrote this kind of, doesn't hold up. Let's put it that way. I did watch a few scenes. It's hard to watch. American Crime, I think, debuted actually not just this week, but today. That is a show, a crime show, as you can guess, set in America. Hi-yo. And John Ridley created it. He is a Milwaukee, not based, but a native son of Milwaukee. And John was a great comedian, too, before he turned to writing. He was just, I think, when I started doing stand-up in the early 90s, John was just kind of segueing into writing. And he is a phenomenal writer. And he is behind one of the voices, I believe, behind those trying to bring film incentives to Wisconsin. So that's kind of cool. John is originally from Milwaukee or maybe Cedarburg, maybe the north suburbs. but he has not forgotten his home state, wants to see more film production here. I think that's really cool. And American Crime was a pretty good show. The Osbournes debuted today in 2002. Cruel Intentions in 1999. Conrad, do you know who Ryan Phillippe is?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe if I saw the face.
You know, I like to be positive, but I don't think I've ever seen Ryan Phillippe in anything I've liked him in. I just don't think he's that great of an actor. He's a really good-looking guy. And I just... it's hard for me to get behind a Ryan Phillippe vehicle. You can disagree with me. You love Ryan Phillippe? Let me know. 855-752-4842. So I watched The Zone of Interest last night. As I said, it's about a family that lives, a German couple trying to bring up, I think they have like five kids, right next to a concentration camp. And it is haunting. It's strange because it's most of it is in the day and outside, like when they're out in the pool or in the yard. And you just hear gunshots from next door, people screaming. And they insinuate throughout the film that people are being incinerated, extinguished. It's horrible. It's a really haunting story. And there are moments in the film that are so chilling. But I didn't love it as a movie. And there's a line in Rob Thomas's article that he wrote about it that I agree with. And we'll talk about that with Rob because I kind of agree with him, although he loved the film. And Sandra Hüller is in the film too, which is nominated for Best Picture Oscar. She is also the star of Anatomy of a Fall, which is also nominated for Best Picture. And she is nominated for Best Actress. So she's had a busy year. And I got to be honest, I did not love Anatomy of a Fall either. It was good. But people, the critics, going nuts for it. They love it. I liked it. I didn't love it. I don't get the best picture nomination. But I write silly comedies. So what do I know? I also watched The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, starring Andrew Lincoln and Danae Gurira, I think is how you say her last name. They play each other's love interest in The Walking Dead before they killed off the Rick Grimes character, or so we thought. He lives, and he is finally back on TV five years later after they supposedly killed him off on the bridge. We have Walking Dead fans out there. Let me know what you think of The Walking Dead. This show was pretty good. I liked it. It shows society kind of moving forward after the apocalypse. Things are getting cleaned up a little bit. There's progress. It's not just people roaming around in the woods and killing walkers. Seems like they're taking a step forward. So I went with it. I'll give it another shot. So we got a lot of show tonight. Rob Thomas coming up in just a few minutes. Jimmy Kesko will talk about the well-represented UW Systems basketball teams in Division III. And Mike Clemens a little later with his thoughts on the Combine. So we got a lot of show. Conrad, are you ready for a big show?
Always ready for a big show.
This is going to be huge.
Yeah.
I'm besides myself. But you know what? The TV is not turned on behind me. I don't know if anyone's watching in the stream. Should we put on like a...
We'll put on just a picture of Funyuns. We'll
put some Funyuns on there or maybe put an old Cheers episode. We'll figure it out. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Connect the dots. Would you dip into your retirement savings to make a loan to climate-polluting oil, coal, and gas companies? Well, you already have if you're a member of Wisconsin's public employee retirement system. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Sign the petition. Common sense investments, not financing polluters. Future generations will thank you for visiting. That's climatesafepensionswisconsin.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
I love Gene Matt and Eric. I was on Matt and Eric on air the other day with Jane and Greg. They're so much fun. If you haven't checked out Matt and Eric on air, you got to tune in. Great midday entertainment. Late morning entertainment, I guess it would be technically. I had to set my alarm to get up. Actually, I didn't. They contacted me that morning. And we talked about the incentives that hopefully are coming to Wisconsin to lure more film work here. Why not Wisconsin? We have a beautiful state. We have hardworking people. They should make more movies and TV here. Good for the economy. Good for tourism. So, Conrad, remember the other night when I said I hurt my back?
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, I don't want to preach. A good producer lines up massages. You thought I was joking the other night.
See, I had him scheduled for 4 o'clock today, and I just took it. So
just brutal. Oh, you took it.
Very I nice. Took the massage. All I was right. like, well, Pete's not here. Why not? Just take it.
Just stick me with the bill. I honestly, God, I've been walking around like James Caan the last few days. Those of you who know James Caan are probably laughing at that. He kind of puts his shoulders back when he walks, and he kind of waddles. I feel like I'm doing a character. And I ran into my, you know this guy, Conrad? You ever talk to this guy, the guy who needs to know? It reminds me of the ads with the guy, very funny ads about people trying not to be their parents, young homeowners trying not to be their parents.
Yeah.
Every time I run into this guy, he's got to know the routes of where, like how you get somewhere. And today was, yeah, go to Green Bay every day to host that show. I go, yeah. He goes, take 41. He's always got to know the route. I'm like, yeah, I take 41. It's a conversation starter. It's just small talk. But of course I take, between Marinette and Green Bay, I'm not taking dirt roads. But this guy's always got to know the route. And he did this when we went to Eagle River. How'd you get there? Did you take 180 or take 64?
You should tell him next time you use a boat.
I sail to Green Bay every day. I love those guys. It just cracks me up. This is the minutiae or the details they need to know. It's just so funny. Okay, so as I mentioned, hey, we had some birthdays this week too. Let's play. Okay, it was Julie Bowen's birthday. Julie, I want to say, is 51. She played Claire on Modern Family. And she was married to Ty Burrell's character, Phil Dunphy. They're very funny. Ty Burrell is one of the funniest people in the history of any sitcom. And Julie Bowen played a great kind of straight man to him. They were both kind of straight people, but they played off each other well. And this is Julie Bowen. It's her birthday week. Happy birthday, Julie. This is Julie Bowen from Modern Family.
Hey, Mom, that was 20 minutes.
Mom, I am so, so sorry. I know it's no excuse, but I've been feeling a lot of pressure at school, you know, with friends. And I love you so much, and I appreciate everything you do for me. I'm still your little girl.
Oh, honey, that is so sweet.
Can I get $20? A bunch of us are going to a movie, and we're going to get something neat afterwards. Jenna's brother's going to take us home.
Okay, of course. Sweetie, you know what? Take 40.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks,
Go
Mom.
On, have a great time. Oh, Alex, honey, when you're out shopping, you might want to pick yourself up a training bra. I know you don't need one now, but your little boobies are going to come in soon. Mommy loves you, kitten. Mwah! Mwah! Teach her to screw with me.
Oh, that's great stuff. If you have not seen the show Modern Family, it's very funny. It ran for 11 seasons. Like most sitcoms, it like was just hilariously funny in the first 5 seasons. And then it's like hit or miss after that. Still funny, still good, but the characters get more and more outlandish and caricature-y. But the first 5 seasons, I put it up there with any sitcom in the last 30 years. Very funny stuff. Conrad, you watch Modern Family?
You know, I've watched like episodes, but I've never actually sat there and like went through every single season.
Yeah. It's great. Ed O'Neill is like the patriarch of the family. Sophia Vergara plays his wife. She is hilarious. The guy who plays Cam, Eric Stonestreet, is so funny. I would say Sophia Vergara, Eric Stonestreet, and Ty Burrell, those three characters, those three actors who play those characters are just, they steal the show. And the kids are kind of funny. The kid Manny is funny too. But if you have not seen Modern Family, it's a favorite in our house. We have, it's one of those where we have like a lot of the lines memorized from the shows and we can just kind of riff and go back and forth.
That's how I met your mother for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my friends.
I never got into that.
It's so funny.
Yeah. What do you like about, who are your favorite characters on that show?
Oh, it was Marshall Erickson, played by Jason Segel.
Jason Segel, yeah, okay.
Definitely my favorite. He's just so funny, just outlandish and funny.
You want to know something? Okay, this is interesting that you mentioned Jason Segel. In the last few days, friend requests have come up on Facebook. Not requests, I'm sorry, suggestions.
Uh-huh.
Larry David. Okay. So I said, okay, add friend. I just wanted to see what happens. And Jason Segel.
Oh, there you go.
Add friend. Both accepted within minutes. And I'm 99.999% sure it's not really that. It's like their account, but someone's running it.
Yeah.
Because they're posting all stuff from the shows. And it's like, all right, I don't need that. I mean, I don't know them anyway. So, but Jason Segel's had a nice run.
He actually has a really good show right now on Apple TV. It's with Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah. What is that again? What's that called?
Let me go to the Google quick. I forgot what it's called, but I watched the first season, and I was... It's called Shrinking.
Okay. Oh, I've heard of that, yeah.
It's so good. It's so funny.
Did you go to the Google to find out the name of the show you watch on the cable?
It's on Apple TV.
Apple TV.
Okay. Yeah. Which I wish it was on more, because that's just another expense for one show. But
it is brutal.
I know.
I cut the cord 10 years ago, maybe even longer, and I was saving so much money, and I really thought I was sticking it to the big media companies, and now I'm probably paying double what I was, because I feel like I have to watch all this stuff, partially because of the show, partially because I'm in the business. Maybe Civic Media would pay my bills. Guys,
there you go.
I'm sorry. I need to watch 80 movies a year on Vudu.
So it's Netflix, Prime,
yeah.
Hulu, all Hulu, these.
Max, which is, how do you go from HBO Max and you drop the HBO part? Like Cinemax, the joke was it was Skinemax. It was like bad softcore porn at night.
I think it's because they added what Discovery had on there, or not Discovery, what is the TLC? Or they added a bunch of TLC shows on there.
Yeah, but... I don't, okay. Onto Max, you mean?
Yeah.
And HBO didn't want to stink up their brand, so they let Max have it? But all the HBO shows are still on Max. I don't get it. It's like saying Coke Zero, and you drop the Coke and you keep the Zero. Doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, we are going to talk to one of my favorite guests coming up next. Rob Thomas will join me here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote, Super Tuesday. I'm Daria Aldinger. The polls are closing now. In North Carolina, one of the few true battleground states on this Super Tuesday, ABC News is projecting that President Biden will win the state's Democratic presidential primary and that former President Trump, the Republican presidential primary. They closed a half an hour ago in Virginia, where ABC News is projecting Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump will win their respective primaries. ABC's Mary Bruce says he and former President Trump are treating today as the lead up for round two for the general election.
Talking with the campaign, they think that voters haven't fully registered, that we are again likely headed for this Trump-Biden rematch. So they see this as a moment to again lay out really what is at stake here, to try and crystallize the critical differences between Trump and Biden. And of course, President Biden's going to have a big opportunity to do that later this week.
This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Recent rainy weather has somewhat lowered the risk of wildfires in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says most of the state's midsection is at a low level of danger, while southern and eastern Wisconsin are still at high risk. 138 wildfires have burned about 300 acres of land in Wisconsin already this year. March is National Reading Month. Wisconsin librarians say kids read books if they like the topics and the formats, like graphic novels for preteens.
It is a lot of dialogue. Sometimes there's some context, you know, paragraphs and stuff in there. But it gives kids that visual, and sometimes they need that to keep going.
Blaze Burton works at the Mercer Library. He says kids respond better when teachers and parents take an informal approach. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 20s, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, a nice day with highs into the upper 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds Thursday, approaching 50 degrees, then a chance of rain Thursday night into Friday. Currently, it's 37.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allbus Show.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Our question tonight, in light of National Cheese Doodle Day, yes, it has its own day. What chip do you think deserves a national day? Jim in Appleton chimes in. Bugles is far and away my favorite chip. It definitely deserves its own month. Its own month after that butter crunch pretzels are awfully good. All right, Jim. I don't know about a month, but Bugles are delicious.
I agree. Bugles for a month.
But they have different flavors now, too.
Yeah, there's actually a ranch flavor now.
There's a ranch everything.
That is true.
Motor oil. It's ridiculous. We love our ranch. Okay, so it's time for some movie and TV talk with one of my favorite guests. He is the entertainment reporter for the Capital Times in Madison. And I'm very excited to have him on the show. He's fresh off vacation. Rob Thomas. Rob, how are you?
I'm good, Pete. How are you?
Good. How was your vacay?
It was good. I was out in Arizona.
Oh, nice.
Visiting my dad and stepmom and enjoying some sun, talking politics, you know, the things he really enjoys. So.
All right. That's a political hotbed there in Arizona. So I'm sure there was some live discussion. That's great.
Yeah. Well, we didn't even know about Kristen Sinema when I was out there. So yeah.
I get a lot of emails from her, Rob. She is one of my least favorite people in the world. I don't know how I got on. It's Arizona. I'm in Wisconsin. I don't know how that happened, but.
And the subject lines are always, Pete, time is running out.
Yeah. It's always... And I used to panic. Oh, my God, what did I do? And you click. It's like, oh. So, Rob, last night I went home and I watched The Zone of Interest. Perfect viewing for late at night, right before you go to bed.
Boy.
And I have to say, I read your review after, and you kind of summed up in the first paragraph how I felt about it. It was like visual art. I didn't like love it as a movie, though. Am I crazy?
No, it's hard to recommend, right? It's such an unpleasant experience.
Awful.
And B, just such a strange movie, because kind of like I think we talked before, it's set. It's at the house next door to a concentration camp.
Yeah.
The commandant and his family lives. And so most of what you're watching is frankly a very boring, story of these, you know, boring people. But then you just get glimpses and hear things about what's the horrors that are going on next door. So it's like you're watching a movie, but you're not even should be paying attention to what you're watching, right? You're like,
right.
Your peripheral vision and hearing. So like, it's a masterpiece in that way. I've never seen a movie like that before in my life.
Yeah.
But I can't go, what star rating would you give that? Would Ebert give that thumbs up? I mean, probably, but you know, it's hard to really recommend, you know, if Madam Web is sold out, which it probably isn't, let's face it, go see Zone of Interest. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I don't, it was haunting. I mean, it was like, you almost didn't even have to pay attention to what they were saying because it was
you
so
didn't.
Mundane. And it lasted so long, and then you'd see a fire coming out of the chimney and then you'd hear gunshots and people screaming. I felt like if it was a 20-minute short, it would be phenomenal. But the fact that it went on so long, and then the mundane continued when he was with the other Nazis and discussing his future. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't love it. The two Sandra Hüller movies I didn't love, and people are raving about them. They were good. I mean, they were very interesting, like you say, with Zone of Interest. It was, you're right. That's a great way to put it. I've never seen a movie like that before.
Yeah.
And for that, right. Maybe it's worth it.
Yeah. And I still have not seen Anatomy of a Fall. It's the one.
Oh, really?
Okay. I've not seen it, and time's running out. So hopefully.
Oh, I thought we discussed it. Maybe not, though.
Yeah. We talked about it, but I,
okay.
I just one I haven't gotten to. So hopefully my wife and I can see it before. The Oscars are on Sunday, right?
March 10th. I still have to see The Holdovers and Poor Things. I know I bought, it's getting down to the wire, and where I live, they're not putting these art movies up. You know, it's pretty much Cineplex. Once in a while they'll have one, but I had to pay $20 last night to watch The Zone of Interest right before I went to bed. I was like,
not optimal viewing experience.
No,
right?
not exactly. And it was so crazy because, and maybe just to accentuate or contrast what was happening next door in the concentration camp, you never really see the concentration camp until the end, I think, when they're either, I don't know what they were doing, turning it into a museum or cleaning it up or whatever.
Right.
But it's usually daylight, bright daylight. And yeah, that part of it was really interesting. I'm fascinated by the movie. I just don't know if I loved it, I guess.
Yeah. In my review, I said, it's like people who live near the airport and they're like, yeah, it's annoying, but you get used to it.
Oh, wow. That's great.
You know, I mean, property values are great. Here's all these things. It's like that level of like engagement with like the greatest evil of the 20th century.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm selling it to you listeners that haven't seen it, but it is definitely something you won't ever experience again.
And you get mad.
For better or worse.
I don't know about you, but I got mad like Sandra Huller's character when she was complaining that he got transferred and she cried. She didn't want to leave there. I'm like, oh, you are horrible people. Like, yes. It really did strike a nerve there. So I guess mission accomplished, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I saw that you also saw Dune 2 and tell us about Dune 2. I saw it too, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I loved it. I've seen it twice. I saw it again.
Oh, wow.
Sunday night. I saw it with my wife and younger stepson. My wife could not make heads or tails out of it. You know, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
I loved it. I think you really have to see the first one because this one takes place. It starts like 5 minutes after the first one ends.
Yeah.
And, there's not, you know, nobody's wearing name tags. There's not a lot, you know, it is hard to figure out all the different players and their motives and how some of them are kind of using each other. But I think, first of all, it's just an incredibly well-made movie. Like,
yeah,
the way it looks, incredible cast. Like they hired every hot actor under 30 in that movie. Right. Plus Javier Bardem and Josh Brolin and Rebecca Ferguson and Christopher Walken is in these.
Yeah.
And the story is so interesting. When I wrote my review is it's like, it's kind of like a Star Wars where it's like this young hero is, you know, leading this rebellion against the evil overlords. But then it's also kind of like, has this other layer to it of like, why do we keep telling ourselves these stories? And, you know, and what's the downside of them in this case? And, you know, so I don't want to give too much away, but
yeah.
I saw it twice in a week and I was just as captivated the second time. So highly recommend it.
We had, my son and I watched the first one. He says we should watch the first one. He is convinced, or it was just his opinion, that it sets up the second one more than anything else. Like it's not nearly as good as the second one. I was kind of confused 2 minutes into the first one. I'm like, who are they now? And what's the planet and who's this? And, but I don't mind a film that forces you to catch up or pay attention. But this one, the second one, just right out of the gate was like, and you're right. It was just phenomenal filmmaking. It was like this, you know, cinematically, it was beautiful. The score is excellent. It's paced well, directed well. The only thing I have is I think when they're adapting something from the book, I don't think you needed the witch stuff. You know, I get that was her character, but that sort of was like a Jedi parallel. And I just liked that he was a normal guy and leading this rebellion, I guess. I don't know.
I guess to me, like that's the real point is like the witch, Charlotte Rampling's character and this sort of religious order, kind of the puppet masters of this whole everybody, even the emperor, and they're sort of setting these things up. So it would be a very Star Wars or Lord of the Rings type story without that them in the shadows kind of controlling everything. And that made it from a plot perspective pretty interesting to me.
And there was a couple, this is not a complaint because if you can get these actors, you do it. But Javier Bardem, as you mentioned, that could have been anybody. Like, he's one of my favorite actors, you know, and they put him behind a beard and he, like in the first one, it started like he was going to be comic relief. And then they kind of went away from that. And then
And Florence Pugh, also such a small part. She's so right. great. So
and Anna Taylor-Joy, Anya Taylor-Joy, she's barely in it. I mean,
who is she in there?
She's like the manifestation of Paul's unborn sister. Like, you know, his mom is pregnant.
Wow.
And there's like a very quick scene. He has like a vision, and she's
yeah.
there. But like that's got to be 30 seconds.
Right.
30 seconds of the actress who's starting in the new Mad Max movie this summer, right? So
wow.
they could get whoever they wanted for even like yeah. smaller roles, right? So
that was such yeah. a cool thing. I thought that she was conversing with her baby that was still in the womb. Like I was like, right. that is so creepy and cool. Like that they're doing that. I didn't even understand it, but it was just a cool thing.
There's a lot of that where like I don't really understand this, but it's cool, and I'm gonna watch it.
It is a fun movie, I will say. My guest is Rob Thomas. He's the entertainment reporter for the Capital Times, joining us to talk TV and film as he often does. Did you see True Detective, Rob?
I did not. No, okay. That's one. I think you watched the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I did. We'll save that because I would love to hear your opinion.
Okay. That'll be good homework for me.
Yeah. yeah. How about Drive Away Dolls? What else have you seen?
I did see Drive Away Dolls. Did you see it?
I have not, but I know it's one half of the Coens, and I'm curious. The trailer looks cool, but
it does. It was really kind of frustrating. Like I went in with very high hopes because it's one of the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
I guess this was it felt like a movie, like a crime comedy that would have been made in the 90s. You know,
okay, like Get Shorty or something, or
just sort of like you know, there were a bunch that kind of came after Pulp Fiction that didn't quite have the same mojo. Felt like one of those.
2 days in the Valley,
yeah, there you go, exactly. Or
Eight
Heads in a Duffel Bag, right?
Yeah. That's
which was it turned out to be an accurate title, not a metaphor, yeah. It was fun. It's very short. It felt like a lot of stuff was cut out, and it felt like it was either too short or too long. I couldn't tell what. Like, it felt like it wrapped up really quick, didn't give a lot of the characters time to develop. Had some good jokes, but it really bombed at the box office, I guess. So I don't know what happened there exactly. But I think the sooner the Coen brothers can get back together, the better.
Yeah. Well, was that like, was there a rift or something that we don't know about? Do you have any inside information?
I don't know. So that was Ethan Coen who made that one.
Yeah.
And then Joel Coen made this, it was a Macbeth movie for a couple of years ago with Denzel Washington, which was very serious and very austere and like, you know, just a complete opposite of Drive Away Doll. So it's kind of like if you do a double feature of the two, you kind of see all the influences of the Coen brothers coming together.
Yeah.
But you split them apart and you see why each might need the other to really make something like The Big Lebowski or No Country for Old Men or.
Right.
You know, there's a balance there between comedy and drama, between, you know, sort of, yeah, the comedy and drama. I think that,
yeah,
that each is missing a little bit when the other one's not there.
That's interesting. Since we last spoke, I think I've made it through. I watched season 5 of Fargo, speaking of the Coen brothers, and 3 and 4, the Ewan McGregor ones, and then the Chris Rock series. And then, boy, it is unbelievable how much No Country for Old Men and Big Lebowski is through. Like, they have such common themes and things you could just tell crack them up. It's so funny. Let's pick it up there, Rob. We'll come right back with more Rob Thomas. And I want to find out what he's watching on TV. And maybe we could talk a little David Bordwell, too. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Connect the dots. Would you dip into your retirement savings to make a loan to climate-polluting oil, coal, and gas companies? Well, you already have if you're a member of Wisconsin's public employee retirement system. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Sign the petition. Common sense investments, not financing polluters. Future generations will thank you for visiting. That's climatesafepensionswisconsin.org.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Jackie is a banker. Oh, and Jane, she is a clerk. Oh, and the both of them save their money. Oh, when they come.
Welcome back. Paula from the 920 says Cheetos jalapenos. It's fun to say. And fun to eat. That's a good one, Paula. Thank you. What chip do you think should have a national day? It is National Cheese Doodle Day. I can't even say that without giggling like a schoolgirl. You ever eat cheese doodles, Rob?
What is a cheese doodle?
It's just
like a cheese puff?
Yeah, it's a Cheeto, but not the crunchy kind, the puff kind.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah, all right. I'm more of a Cheeto crunch guy myself, I think.
The original.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. None of this oven baked
like
nonsense.
Styrofoam.
Yeah. Hey, so you did an article I saw about David Bordwell. I have to admit, I did not know much about David, but everything I've been reading about him in the last few days, I mean, what a titan of a film professor. I had heard of him, but I mean, he's being eulogized all across the country.
And some big filmmakers like Damien Chazelle, who did La La Land. I mean, he was a UW Madison professor emeritus, film professor. He died last week at 76. And yeah, he was, I mean, probably the most influential film scholar in the country and influenced critics like Roger Ebert was friends with him and filmmakers. And, you know, I knew him somewhat. I interviewed him a few times, like when he'd have a new book or something, or I saw him at the film festival here. And like he was brilliant. Like he did these deep studies of movies and you know, how they were made, everything from Christopher Nolan movies to classic Hong Kong martial arts movies. He wrote a couple of textbooks. He wrote over 20 books, but like two of them were like the textbook for most film classes. But he was also like a really generous and kind guy. Like I read stories by people who were in his classes, and like he was so brilliant. He would have every reason just like, okay, just write down everything I say. But he wasn't like that. He was just like, he wanted to know what the students thought after they watched something. He guided the class discussions rather than dominated them like a lot of professors do. And you know, when I interviewed him, he was so generous with his time, considering I was just, you know, a local writer. And he knew Roger Ebert and all these people and would travel all over the world. And I'd interview him, and then we turned the recorder off and we would just talk movies and what we had seen. And he had seen everything. Like he would just go see everything. And he, you know, he had high standards, but he would find all kinds of movies that other people had overlooked, you know, and find something special in them and really champion them. So he's really going to be missed, I think. And it happens, you know, the film festival in Madison releases its schedule, I think, tomorrow night or this Thursday.
Oh, it's already, yeah.
Yeah, and he was such a big part of that festival, bringing filmmakers to town. So that's going to be definitely, I think, a bittersweet festival this year without his presence. Yeah.
It was interesting. I had Jim Healy on last night from Cinematheque to talk about Dave. They were friends. He said they used to go to a lot of movies. And when you read about a guy like that and realize how sophisticated he is when it comes to film and writing these books, and he's such an intellectual and a scholar, and Jim says they went to see the movie Game Night and the two of them were laughing hysterically. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, so he is just a regular guy, too, who likes a silly comedy once in a while. Yeah, so that was kind of cool.
First of all, great movie, Game Night. Yeah, there was one movie, people remember Premium Rush, which was like a bike messenger action movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He loved that. Yeah, and which is great. Like, I love it. I mean, I really aspired to that, where it's like you walk into any movie, you have the potential to love it. You know,
yeah.
Whether it's highbrow, lowbrow, or anything in between. And his generosity, if you go to his website, like, he put most of his books online for free.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So like, there's really no barrier to learning more about him and his writing. Cause I think if you love movies, even casually, you'll get so much out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Rob, I can't remember. I may have asked you this in the past. Are you a Walking Dead fan, or were you?
Not really. I checked out, I think when Herschel died, a long time
season
ago.
Two or three. Yeah.
That was like, all right, I think I got it.
Well, I watched the new one, The Ones Who Live, with Rick Grimes and Michonne, and I was just curious if you had seen that. Andrew Lincoln is back in that role, which is interesting. Any predictions for the Oscars, Rob?
Well, I think Oppenheimer has got it for sure. Yeah. Like, it just seems unstoppable. And with that, I think, like, I really would like Paul Giamatti to win Best Actor for The Holdovers, but I think Cillian Murphy's probably going to get it for playing Oppenheimer as part of it.
Seems tailor-made almost for a Best Actor, right?
Yeah, which is sort of kind of like why I would like Paul Giamatti, just because he's had, I mean, Cillian Murphy's had a great career too, but Paul Giamatti's one after the other.
So great.
Yeah, and this is one of his best. And then I think also for Oppenheimer, I think Robert Downey Jr. will win Best Supporting Actor. Although, you know, I don't count Ken out. You know, I just, Ryan Gosling might stick in there. If anybody does,
That would almost be like a slap in the face, maybe, to like Greta Gerwig, or I don't know. That's hilarious.
The one man in the cast wins.
Right. I mean, yeah, how horrible.
Probably true. Right. Yeah.
What about any Best Actress?
I think we talked about, like, I'm really rooting for Lily Gladstone in
Me too,
Killers of the Flower Moon, but I think the favorite might be Emma Stone in Poor Things, just because that's such a big, crazy performance. That's a tough one. I think
it is.
I mean, I like both movies a lot, but I Emma Stone has already won one. It would be such a big deal. I think that would make Lily Gladstone the first Indigenous woman to win Best Acting Oscar. So
yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the one I'd root for, I think. And then Best Supporting, I think the one acting that's pretty certain is that Divine Joy Randolph's going to win for The Holdovers. And she's just great.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool. Well, we'll have to touch base after the Oscars, Rob. Always fun. You're the best, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, you got it. Have a great night.
You too.
It's Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. Always fun to talk TV and movies with Rob. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to check in with Civic Media Sports Director and Digital Content Director and find out what is going on at Division III. Wisconsin owns Division III basketball right now, especially the girls. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. She's gone and I am free. And she can't do thing to me. I just wanna dance the night away with senoritas who can sway right now tomorrow.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Wednesday at 9 AM. I'll be joined by the Executive Director of Citizen Action, Dr. Robert Craig.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.